Awesome. So anybody else that needs prayer, don't go away. Okay. Anybody want some teaching?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Mark chapter 11. Yes. Mark 11 indeed. Anybody heard that story about the cursed fig tree? I'm going to talk about that tree. Does that worry you? Well, come on, stay there, Jenny. I need some moral support. There you go, Sue. That's the way. Mark chapter 11. Are we going to start reading from verse 12? Okay. Which book? Which book? Which chapter? Which verse? That's very good. So, in Mark chapter 11, it's a good thing we never need a light here, because I think people that preach on this pulpit most of the time use an iPad which has got its own light. So it's a problem if you're using a Bible that doesn't have light on itself. And then I get to blend in the background. All right, so Mark 11, verse 12, it says, the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. It's actually encouraging to know that Jesus, from time to time, he got hungry. And the encouragement about that is, should you ever get hungry, he knows exactly how you feel. And because he knows exactly how he feel, your mother doesn't, and your father doesn't care. Says, cook your own food. But because he knows exactly how you feel, and this is why he came up with the most incredible statement, that while the bridegroom is still around, the guests never need to fast. Just to make sure that you never get hungry. Okay, so the next day, that means there's a few things that happened before. So the next day, Jesus was leaving Bethany, because Bethany, that's a place he usually hung out most of the times. He was what? Hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf. What did he see in the distance? Okay, what does that mean? It means the fig tree had leaves on it. Quite profound. That is important, okay, that the fig tree had leaves on it, okay? So Mark makes a point to outline or just make mention, hi Mark, the other Mark, makes a point to mention that this tree, it had leaves on it. Okay, this is very important. So when he saw a fig tree in a distance and it had leaves on it, he went to find out if it had any fruit. It's quite a very nice thing to see. So you can imagine how Jesus is feeling. We are told he is hungry. And when he sees a fig tree, there's an excitement that just rolls up within. And he says, I gotta go look at that fig tree, and I may just chance some fruit in it. How delightful would that be? If in his state of hunger, he went to this fig tree and he found, look, it's got fruit in it. That'll be epic. That'll be awesome. That'll be brilliant. That'll be great. That'll be really good. Couldn't it be? It reminds me of that Cadbury ad. Wouldn't it be nice if the world was made of chocolate? Wouldn't it be nice? Can you see what's going on in Jesus' mind and heart about this fig tree? Now, here's something very incredibly important. This is Jesus who earlier on saw Nathanael sitting under a tree kilometers away. He could see the guy sitting on a tree. He knew what people thought, and he did not need anybody to tell him anything. And here's a day, he doesn't know whether there's fruit in a tree. Just how prophetically unprophetic is that? He knows all this stuff. But is it that he doesn't know? Anybody following my line of thought here? He knows everything, but he had to go to find out if the fig tree had fruit. Surely he could have known from a distance that there's a fig tree with leaves and it's got no fruit. Don't waste your time to go to it. Couldn't he have known that? You think so? He knows a lot of other stuff. Okay. Don't preach my sermon. I'm excited about preaching it, Ross, but you can help. Okay. He went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found out nothing but leaves. Anybody remember what we thought he was hoping to find? Figs. And the anticipation and the excitement and the prospect of finding food while he was very hungry moved from zoop to boom. Yeah. There was a lot of disappointment there. And in a minute, you can just see how the disappointment manifests. Because it was not season for figs. Does Jesus know which season of figs it was or should be? So, we would expect he should have known when the fig season was, and clearly Mark is helping us out, saying, well, he was hoping to find some fruit, but when he went there was nothing, and really there was nothing in the tree because it wasn't their season for fruit. Yep. Does Mark make sense? Does Jesus make much sense? No. At least somebody's making sense in this passage. Who's making sense? Mark. He might make a little bit more sense. Let's read on. Come on, turn on, little thing. Okay, why didn't he find fruit in the tree? It wasn't yet season for figs. Then he said to the tree, he had a few things to say to a tree. Okay? Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. That's a little bit harsh to the tree. And his disciples heard him say it. So he didn't say it quite. Well, he said it loudly and audibly for all to hear. On reaching Jerusalem, again, Jesus enters the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. That was a day Israel had never seen before. For the first time, the temple has got police. Okay? And he taught them. He said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it into a den of thieves, robbers, stealers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. For they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. Okay? In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Okay, so this was something that was of great, incredible note. Anybody ever put Roundup on plants? How long does it take for them to, when you've put Roundup on it, to the place where they're completely withered to the root? And a tree of this size, how long would it take to kill it? It would take a while. You see? But the effect of his word on this tree was quite immediate. That in itself was a sign and a wonder. It was a miracle that the tree would die that incredibly quick. Okay, we've all read this passage, right? If you haven't read the passage, don't put your hand up. Go read it. Or you don't have to. Or you can read it again. So there's a few things I want to share with us here that I just feel incredibly awesome, that gets me to a place of, yeah, keep on torturing her. That I just sparked a new passion and a desire in my heart before God in a new, fresh way. So, here's a few things that would help understand. biblically, the Bible uses the fig tree. Interesting little hole there, Nick. Oh, you went home. You didn't want to hear my preaching about the fig tree. Okay. So biblically, the fig tree symbolizes Israel. Okay? So most of the time the Bible talks about the fig tree, it is a symbolic representation of the family or the country or the nation of Israel. So when you look at the order of events in this picture, well, Jesus is making this interaction about the fig tree, and what he does after kissing the fig tree, go kick out the Israelites' merchandising in the temple. Okay? And to really understand what Jesus is really saying or up to here, you gotta understand the heart of the scripture that Jesus is coming from. So when Jesus is looking at this fig tree, what is living out and illustrating and demonstrating through this little scenario with the fig tree is Hosea chapter 9. Okay? Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. Okay, if you're writing it down. If you're not, you're not going to remember. And you'll be like the man that James talks about, who looks himself in the mirror and walks away and forgets whether she had lipstick on her or not. That too. Okay? So Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, is what has become my prayer for me. This is God thinking and reminiscing of a good time. Okay? God does think back to good times. So God is thinking back to a good time. And God is saying, now listen to me, I'm going to read it to you. Okay? Are you looking at me? Come on, look at me. I know you can't see me in the dark, just pretend to look at me. Okay? Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, God says, when I found Israel. Okay, when he did what? When I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. Okay? Does that draw a picture of Jesus being very hungry and hoping to find the unexpected in a very unlikely place? Okay? Are you getting it there, Jeff? So what God is saying here is when he found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. Finding grapes in a desert would be a very rare find. It would be very unusual. But if you did find grapes in the desert, it would cheer you. It will bring a certain unexpected, a certain unexplained joy in your heart. And it is the desire of the Lord to find unexpected surprise fruit in a very unlikely place. And what he's hoping is probably in a very untimely, in a very unusual way, you can just surprise him. Bam! There is fruit. And he goes, wow! I wasn't expecting that, but what a delightful surprise. and reading this, and as he shows this, I was like, Lord, forget everything I've ever said to you. I want to be grapes in the desert. I want to be a source of unexpected joy in a most unlikely fashion that when you bump into me, you could say, wow, what a sweet boy. That my life can be a source of pleasure and delight. And it's not that often God finds such rare fruit in an expected place. And when he does, he never shuts up about it. He brags too much. To a point like, have you considered my servant Job? Isn't just Job awesome? Isn't he wonderful? Hey, devil, have you seen Job? Because this is such an expected source of pleasure and delight. So what Jesus is coming from, being hungry, is a picture and a painting and a representation of the desert. And what is he hoping to find? Unexpected fruit. What is he expecting to find in your life, Louis? Unexpected fruit. Unexpected delight. He wants you to surprise him. I remember the last time I had a girlfriend, I always wanted to surprise her. It always went well. And I would daydream. I win lotto. And I buy this mansion. And then I trick her, let's go for a walk. And I say, ta-da, it's yours. What an expected kick that would be. In a good way. Are you understanding here? And he reads on. Okay, from the top. When I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. When I saw your fathers, when I saw Abraham, when I saw Isaac, when I saw Jacob, it was like finding fruit on a fig tree out of season. Bam! How about that? Now, are you seeing where Jesus is coming from with this? He is expecting Isaiah, Hosea 9:10, when he saw the fig tree. That my father, when he saw Abraham, when he saw Isaac, when he saw Jacob, it was like finding fruit on a fig tree out of season. When he sees you, Tara, he's hoping you are a magnificent, awesome fig tree that is going to surprise him. Because here's something you got to understand about the fig tree, the point that Mark keeps on emphasizing. What was the condition of the fig tree when you found it? It had leaves. So the thing about the fig tree, it gets the fruit before the leaves. Do you understand? The fig tree bears fruit before the leaves, or bears fruit just about the same time it's getting the leaves. So if you find a fig tree with leaves on it, that means preceding those leaves on it, it had some fruits first. So it should have fruit if it's got leaves. This is why Mark is emphasizing the leaf part. Okay? So in other words, this fig tree walked, talked the talk, but didn't walk the walk. All right? What is the problem with this fig tree? It's talking the talk, but it's not really walking the walk. Because if it's going to have leaves, it should have fruit. It has the form. It has the appearance. It has the look, but not the fruit. And that is exactly what the nation that was represented by the fig tree was like. How did he describe them? Whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside, but they are dead in the inside. So when Jesus is having this interaction with the fig tree, it's not the fig tree he's talking about. It is his people he's talking about. It is the church people he's talking about, who most often have their talk, but not their walk. Who most often has their form, but not their life. Who most often have their appearance, but not their character. Are we keeping up with Jesus? Now, here's the other thing about the fig tree. And here's something about Christianity. Anybody ever planted a tomato garden? Have you ever noticed there's always one tomato that comes on before the rest of the bush has tomato or fruit on it? That tomato or fruit that comes first is what is called first fruit. Okay? When does a tree ever have first fruit? It's not in season. It is out of season. First fruit always comes a little bit earlier in the season. Because if it came in season, then it's not first fruit anymore, is it? Are you following that little thought? So if God is called you and I to be first fruit, it means you and I gotta be bearing fruit out of season. It's summer, it's not raining, and I'm going to plant my seed. Are you following that thought? And when you bear first fruit out of season, you become a joy and delight that is refreshing and heartwarming to him. So, there's a biggest difference between the first fruit and the regular fruit. Would anybody know what the difference is? Don't worry, I'll tell you. Can I tell you? When I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. Say, Lord, make me grapes in the desert. Make me an unexpected surprise and delight to your heart. Let that be your desire. That you'd live your life just to surprise him every morning. Okay? When I saw your father's, it was like seeing early fruit on the fig tree. All right? Now, here is what Isaiah talks about, the early fruit on a fig tree. It is in Isaiah 28, verse 4. That fading flower, his glorious beauty, set on the head of a fertile valley, will be like a fig ripe before harvest. Okay? That early flower will be like a early fig. Okay? As soon as someone sees it, takes it in. It takes it in his hand and he swallows it. So that early fig tree, according to Isaiah, it is very distinct and different from the regular fig tree. It is the sweetest fig tree you could ever taste. To a point where as soon as anybody sees it, they all rush for it and grab it in their hands. And as soon as it is in their hands, it is in their mouth. So can you see how heightened the expectation and the excitement in the heart of Jesus was? He was wanting to live out two passages of Scripture, Hosea and Isaiah. Are you getting this? So if the fig tree represented Israel, the same this fig tree would be safe to assume represents the church, represents you and me. Okay? On the bigger picture of this fig tree, it's not that he cursed it. There is relevance to it. But his response. Anybody remember what Jesus said when Peter said, Lord, the tree you cursed is dead. You notice he doesn't say anything about the tree. He talks about the mountains. I tell you, anybody who's got faith as size of mustard seed, you say to this mountain, be moved and be thrown into the sea, and it will move and it will be thrown into the sea. So the issue was not the tree. The issue was about faith, conviction, and trusting God to be true to his word and to his promises and to his ways and to his nature and to what he said to you. And in a place of trusting God, he wants to come into a relationship with you and I, which is just an incredible surprise, joy, and delight. He literally wants you to be the apple of his eye. That's literally what he wants. He wants you to be in a place of having a delightful relationship with him. Where every time he looks at you, he feels like he's found grapes in a desert. Every time he looked at your life, he feels like he's found fruit on a fig tree out of season. And he knows that the fruit on a fig tree out of season is the sweetest, is the best. And this is why it was in the law of Moses that what should these people do with their first fruit? Come on, people, help me out. What do you do with the first fruit? First fruit belongs to God. So he wants you to be some kind of a first fruit where your life is not your own, but your life belongs to God. And when your life is not your own, when your life belongs to Him, when everything about you, you treat yourself as, I'm the first fruit offering before the Lord, that our lives become pleasing and exciting like grapes in a desert. What would be out of season for us? One thought is, it is easy to be happy in a good time. What if we were happy in a bad time? What if we carried His joy in the desert? What if we carried His joy in difficult times? What if we displayed an expected character in a very untimely and seemingly place? What if the joy of the Lord literally became our strength in our weakness? What if we would worship Him while everybody is cursing at Him? What if we would pour our hearts before Him when everybody has had enough and they've given up and gone home? What if we chose to press in and push in a little bit longer where everybody said enough? Wouldn't that just excite Him? Wouldn't that just want Him to get His brag book about us and say, look at my kid. Look at my daughter. Look at my son. Because that was a challenge the devil brought to God about Job. He said, God, do you think this Job worships you because he likes you? No, this Job likes you because you've made him the richest man in the village. He's got cows, donkeys, servants, awesome kids. That's why he worships you. But if you are to take away those things, he'll curse you right to your face. But the most incredible thing, Job was grapes in the desert. He was a rare find. He was joy and delight in the most difficult and strenuous of circumstances. May I be fruit on a fig tree out of season. Because we are a type of the first fruit before God. This is what the Bible says. Literally says we are a type of a first fruit, which makes us unique, peculiar in some way, but different, nonetheless precious. And all the first fruit belongs to Him. I feel it's time to abandon regular Christianity. It's time to abandon regular Christianity and step it up to the first fruit thingy. And step it out to grapes in the desert. And step it out to fruit out of season. And step it out to unique, peculiar, different, first kind of a fruit thing that brings joy, pleasure, and delight to God. How is that? We're just not regular tomatoes. We're just not regular figs, grapes. We are the sweetest part of it. The rare one, the out of season one, the unexpected joy, the unexpected delight, the unexpected pleasure. We're a surprise to the Father. We are more than the ordinary. We're just a little bit more. We pour out and we pour out, and when we've poured out, we pour out a little bit more. We give, we give, we give, and when we've given, we give out a little bit more. We yield, we yield, we yield fruit, and when we've yielded much, we just yield a little bit more. And in Israel, depending on the part, the climate, and the soil, it is not unusual for a fig tree to bear fruit 8 times in one season. And this is the part where you may have life and have life abundantly, that you may bear fruit and bear fruit abundantly. Okay? We become a fruitful vine that keeps on bearing fruit over and over and over and over and over and over, because we are a branch that is grafted into the fruitful vine. Isn't that just incredibly awesome? So when Jesus came to that tree, he was hoping to find a portion that belongs to the Lord. He was hoping to find a portion that is of first fruit. And if this tree cannot have a portion that is holy and sacred unto the Lord as first fruit, it's not worthy of living. It's not deserving of life. That's where it gets thick now. Put differently, he said, whatever branch that does not bear fruit, what shall be done to it? Will be cut off and done what? Thrown in the fire. And that is exactly what is done with this fig tree. Isn't it incredibly, pictorially awesome? He wants you to bear fruit out of season and 8 times in season. How about that? And this is a time and the period where Israel was in the greatest state of apostasy, where the temple was just a place for merchandise. They put an ATM in the church. Oh, we got ATMs at church. Don't worry, that's just keep the part. But anyway, that's the picture. That the temple became about finances and merchandise and personal gain, and not about being a house of prayer for all nations. He said he came to his own, and his own esteemed him not. So the picture is painting, when he came to Israel, he found a fig tree that had the look and the appearance, but never had the fruit. And he said, when the Son of Man comes in that day, will he find faith? What does he say in response to Peter about the fig tree? If you have faith, speak to a mountain. So the issue is, will he find faith? Will he find people that are believing and are walking the walk, not just talking the talk? People who have the character and the fruit to back it up. Amen. But the heart of the message is Hosea 9:10. He's hoping you'd surprise him. He's hoping you will surprise him. That he's going to take a little walk in the desert and he finds out of nowhere this cluster of grapes, not shriveled and shrilled, thriving, brilliant, exuding with life. How else can I put it? Can you be a tool in his hand he could use in a very unlikely and different of places? That when that's what usually is our prayer before we go to ministry. We say, Lord, let me be a yielded vessel in your hands. Let me be whatever tool you need today. If you need a hammer, let me be a hammer. If you need a screwdriver, let me be a screwdriver. If you need a wrench, let me be a wrench. If you need a pillow, soft and cuddly for somebody to fall on, let me be a pillow. Let me be whatever you want me to be for the purposes you have among your people today. It was naturally, Lord, I want the anointing. Well, what if he just wants me to be a screwdriver for the day? I don't want the anointing then. I just want to be a screwdriver. Does that make sense? So it's become my desires, Lord. I just want to be a grapefruit in the desert. I just want to bring you joy in the most unlikely of events and situations. Could I be a kid? You could say by the end of the day, thank Jesus. We usually thank God. Wonder what God says. Maybe thanks the Spirit or himself. I'm so glad that she was there. Ever been to a party where you don't know anybody and then you suddenly see a face you know? How you gravitate towards them? In this strange world, God wants you to be a familiar face in a vast, mean, old world. Oh, she's here. Lord, why are you using Sue? Yeah, man, I don't know what I would have done if she wasn't here. How about that? That the move of God breaks out because you decided to be there and you were a refreshing presence to the Lord that he said, yep, I can deal with it. I can work with this. Oh,
qué hueco eres. Thank God, she's here. Do you remember when Jesus went to the wedding at Cana? They weren't expecting him. Remember, he refused to go to the wedding. And when he turns up, just at the time where all the wine had run out, and the mother says, thank God, he's here. He'll know what to do. How about you and that person? A surprise in the desert. That when you show up, the whole heaven says, now we can do something because Paul is here. Literally, times angels have not broken through is because the people of God have not broken through. And when the people of God break through, the angels say, thank God for them. Does it make sense? Do I need to prove this anymore? I can. Daniel is praying. And what was happening when he was praying? Nothing. And then he decides he's going to have a little prayer and fast for himself for 21 days. And then after 21 days, the angel shows up and says, whoa, Daniel, from the day you started praying, God heard your prayer and he sent me. But for 21 days, the demons blocked me from bringing the answer to you. Thank God you fasted. Because you fasted, God dispatched Michael to help me out. Who made the difference in the whole nation? One guy, Daniel. When you are the kind of first fruit deal, you are all it takes to change this nation. Louis, you are all it takes. May the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father, we are the majority of the greatest force. Okay, say to yourself, I am all it takes to change this nation. See, it's nice we can sign petitions about lesbian this, lesbian that, or that, and petitions and all that. They're awesome. We need to do that. But remember, you, the Father, and the Holy Spirit have the majority that constitutes the greatest force that can speak and change into destinies. I mean, what is easy? To say that political junk, get out, or mountain boom moved, Mount Glasshouse mountains move and be thrown in the private beach. Which one is easier? Okay? Jesus said you can say to the Glasshouse mountains, move and go to Bribe Island. If you have faith, it will be done. And then we fuss about the most minute of tiniest little things. We're just losing perspective of how huge your majority with God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus is. Powerful. You are so powerful to a point where God wasn't saying to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can you pray for this valley of dry bones? No. It was less than that. Just speak to it. Have you spoken to stuff in your life lately? Or you've just been crying about it? Don't cry about it. And save yourself the prayers. Just speak to it. That's what he said. Prophesy. Speak to the bones. And he spoke and they became life. Speak to it. How about that? What does God want you to do to this nation, Paul? Speak to it. Hey, speak to it. Speak to it. What is this nation coming to? Speak to it. Speak. Why is he telling you to speak to it? Who's going to move mountains? Who?
We are.
Let's start practicing with moving caps.
Oh, I want that bottle of water. I can't get a cup in the name of Jesus.
It's moving the other way.
All right. So that excites me. Because whatever he expects of us, he gives us the grace that enables us to become. So if he's expecting fruit out of season in our lives, he gives us the grace to bear fruit out of season. And sometimes you find yourself in the desert, and what we do when we find ourselves in the desert, we scream, "Help!" But what if, make it stop, what if when you find yourself in a desert, he just wants you to be a cluster of grapes in the desert? Too much talking. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just stand? Father, we just want to thank you that you're a good dad. You're a good God. And what a joy. What a delight. What it would be if we were fruit, if we were grapes in the desert. Lord, I just pray for each one of us. Give us the grace to be such a joy and such a delight to you. That we may be the kind of kids that bring just so much joy and so much pleasure to you. Father, we just want to bring pleasure to your heart. We just want to bring joy to you. Lord, we want to make you feel like all the grandparents that walk with little photos on their phone of their grandkids, showing everybody who's not even interested to look at their grandkids. Look, look. I don't want to look at your grandkid. Look. Because it's such a joy and delight to them that we may make you feel that way. I don't know about you guys. If it's in your heart, like I've been sharing, it's like, I don't want to be regular fruit.
I want to be the portion that belongs to the Lord. I want to be the portion that is devoted, consecrated for the Lord. I don't want to be fruit for the pig. I want to be fruit for the King of Kings. Lord, that you'd consecrate us. That our lives may be like first fruit of a fig tree. Not only do we have leaves, but we have fruit. Not only do we talk the talk, but we walk the walk too. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I just speak that you'd infuse life. Infuse life. Life in each one of us. Life. Life. Life, Father. First fruit. And to bear 80 times the fruit in season. Father, just pray for the supernatural abundance. I pray for supernatural increase in their lives. Father, even in their finances, I pray, let it be just some unexpected resources. Let there be unexpected provision, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray for a supernatural release of grace, a supernatural release of life. In the name of Jesus. Shandaria kasenderia mama. Sheketeria kasandaria kasenderia mama mama. Sheketeria kasandaria kasenderia mama. Sheketeria mama. Lord, I pray, turn your sons and daughters into delightful vines. Turn them into grapes in the desert. Turn them into first fruit on a fig tree. Turn them into mighty oak trees, Father. Turn them, Father, into great fig trees that will have green leaves and will have fruit and fruit abundantly. That each one of these will be a source of great pleasure, will be a source of great delight, will be a source of just great happiness to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Shenderia kasandaria. Father, I thank you. I pray that you give them sustenance. You sustain their hearts. You sustain their spirits. You sustain their bodies. And Lord, I pray that you give them health, even in unusual circumstances. Lord, such unusual grace that even when everybody's getting a flu, they become impervious to it. They become impervious to all the regular and common sicknesses and diseases because there is an anointing and the grace of life over them. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray a release divine health over each one of them, that diseases that are common to men will not be common on their lives, will not be common in their family, in the name of Jesus. Lord, even like what you did for John G. Lake, when everybody was getting sick of that stuff, that bug, that virus would die when he came in contact with the anointing on his life. Father, you release that anointing that the usual diseases will die. In Jesus' name. All right. Just put your head on this hand here so I can just place you and release that on you quickly. You're here, start. Father, thank you. Just release that over Jenny. Release that over Jenny in the name of Jesus. Take it. Yeah, more. Father, just release that. Release the blessing that I've been talking about. Just receive, take it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Don't worry about your daughter. If she wants it, she can take it on her own. Shaka Sandariyama, Mama, Baba, 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 Baba. Father, I release that. Release that grace. In the name of Jesus. Shake Masandariyaka, Shenderiyaka, Sandariya. Father, I thank you for that grace. For the fruitful vine that bears fruit out of season. Father, I thank you. The life. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, just receive that. Lord, I release that blessing even over Paul. Let him be a fruitful vine in the desert. Let him be the first fruit on a fig tree in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the blessing that brings life. I thank you for life and for wholeness. Sharam, Sekaterium, Sheketeria Kasandarium. Receive, 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 receive.